Hey, happy Friday. Thanks for tuning in to Express Yourself.
Yay.
Every 4 to 5 p.m. every Friday on KD&K, your community access radio, located in the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. I'm one of your hosts today, Brian Colley, joined by
Amy Kimberly. And here on Express Yourself today, we'll feature all things arts and culture and creativity happening up and down the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Well, here's what's coming up on the show today.
A little later on, we'll have singer-songwriter Ray Omri, joined by a Boeing banjo player, Ben. He'll be here near soon, sharing music as she gets ready to perform at the Roaring Fork Rising Series at the Wheeler Opera House tomorrow evening.
And towards the end of the show, we'll chat with ceramic artist Chris Anderson and painter Ben Strawn, who have an exhibition up at Carbondale Arts called Kindred Spirits, open for just one more week.
Ooh. But first, we've got some special guests here in the studio from the Garfield County Libraries to talk about the Human Library Project happening this Sunday at the Carbondale Branch Library.
So keep it tuned here for the next hour of Express Yourself, and don't touch that dial.
Hey!
Okay, Brian.
Yo.
I just want to read my little limerick that I wrote before we start, because it is the end of bike week. It was a good bike week, right?
Excellent bike week.
Yeah.
So good.
Lots of action. And I wrote a limerick, and I've never written a limerick, so I just wanted to share it with all of you. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. I have never biked up Red Hill. The thought of it makes me quite ill. But the river below is where I will go, because riding waves is what gives me a thrill.
Whoa!
Hey. And you're headed out on a river trip, so that's perfect.
Yay! All right, now we can get into the Human Library.
Human Library, yes. How about we have you guys introduce yourselves for the radio listening audience? Frank, we're going to start with you.
Sure. I'm Frank Scambotti.
The founder and creator of
the... Yes. I'm with Age Friendly Carbondale, and I'm working very closely with Alex to continue to put on the Human Library. So.
Thank you, Frank.
Yep.
And I'm the Alex he just mentioned. My name is Alex Garcia. I work for the Garfield County Libraries as the event manager for the whole district. Yeah, happy to do it. Thank you for having us, and you know, we're ready to do it again.
When was the last Human Library Project?
It was a little bit over a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and what we do is we started, the first one was here in Carbondale, and then we did the following one in Glenwood Springs, and then we did the third one in Rifle, and now we're starting the cycle over again. So we try to do it. We tried to do it all within a year, but getting started initially took a little while, you know, to get going. But it's going full steam ahead, going good.
Yeah, I'd say it takes that bit because, you know, the books we're after are extremely rare books. So that's part of the process is finding them.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
That's right. And maybe explain what that is. What is the Human Library for people that don't know?
Sure. Okay, so little history. It started in Copenhagen, Denmark, back in the year 2000. It's an international nonprofit. And I think the easiest way to explain it is we're all books. We're stories. Our lives are stories. There's a lot to tell, a lot to learn about us. And so we really look specifically at people who have been discriminated against, marginalized, and really give those individuals to have the opportunity to talk a little bit about themselves, and then have individuals who are called the readers actually ask questions. We want the questions to be really provocative. We want them to ask questions that they normally wouldn't have, the conversations with people in those situations. The whole philosophy is to unjudge. We all have preconceived ideas, and to really unjudge people. And then the other piece of that is, too, I think especially now in this country, you know, we've talked about this before. We know it's very divisive. Politics has been just really raw. And people are in each other's faces. yelling and not really communicating. And so we feel that, you know, this is another way where people could begin to look at individuals who you normally don't know or would have had a relationship with and really learn who they are, to hear their stories, to unjudge, to accept.
Wow.
So that's the basic premise of the Human Library.
And just to clarify, so there's, I don't know how many, 6 or 8 people chosen. They are the books. So, and they usually come from different walks of life, different experiences. And as a participant, you generally get to interact with 3 of those books?
Yes. So the way it's 6 books. I'd love it to be 100 and love it to be 8.
Yeah.
But it's 6 books. The Human Library does regiment the way the program goes quite a bit. And it keeps it snappy. It keeps it, fresh and unique. So you do have 6 individuals who have our books. And we have a group of, between 10 and 12 people who are the readers that sit down with 3 books that day. So each conversation actually goes on for 30 minutes plus 15 extra time. So there's no script. The book comes in. They sit in the station. And they just give a brief introduction as to who they are, what their story is. And then the rest of the conversation is just Q&A. The reader is just, just ask me anything. And really nothing is off limits. The book can decide what to talk about or not. So if their comfort level gets crossed a little bit, they can take a step back. But it's really just about an open conversation.
Some of the book titles have been, I have a little cheat sheet here because there were so many. I want to make sure I get most of them. Anyway, Living Transgendered was one title of one book. Surviving Incarceration, Living Undocumented, Surviving Drug Addiction, Surviving Sexual Abuse. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. We're also looking at someone living with HIV. Being a Native American, experiencing addiction. Those are just some of the books that we've had and will have,
Is that, do you title the books in that way so you're not like just seeing a name and like if you know that person?
Exactly. We want to be really careful that we're,
right.
Exactly. We're not labeling people. We're being really respectful. And, we really want people to feel comfortable. It's a little bit privacy issues too.
Sure.
As to what people really want to explain or be involved in. So that's a really important piece. So we do kind of label it very non-judgmental. And the title of the book. Yep.
How does the process work when you're sourcing these books? Are these local folks, or is it, how does that work for you guys?
Well, the first 3 sessions we did were all local. Our area has an endless amount of unique people. We don't have to look past our valleys here to find just these amazing people.
Yeah.
This time around, somebody's joining us from Mesa County and somebody from Delta. So it's the very first time we're bringing in representatives of other communities. Till now, we haven't had to really struggle to find books. They're just all around us.
Yeah.
We're hoping to one time, one day get to the point in which people are reaching out to us to like, hey, I have this story. We'll get there, but we've been really lucky. This is an amazing area for that.
No, I love this idea. And how does it work if somebody wants to be a reader? Is that something people sign up for? Or is it already filled up?
We have the advertisement that we've sent out has a QR code on it, so we encourage people to use that.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the door, there'll be registration. The first time around that we did it, we had over 60 people, so
Whoa.
It went really well. And as advertising is difficult. So, there's been like this and articles in the paper and we did a podcast and all this kind of stuff.
Cool.
So we're hoping to get, a pretty good turnout. But, whatever we get for a turnout, we know it's going to work out really good because based on that, that's how many people will be in the group. So if it's a smaller group or larger group, it all works.
And I would say register. It's this Sunday. So register, because if we fill up 260, we fill up. So we do want, if you're interested, please reserve a seat.
Yeah, I was part of it the first time you did it. And I was a reader. And it was just fascinating, like the depth that the books were willing to go, and it's just so personal and intimate, and they really are open to questions. And I came away really inspired and understanding some different things that I hadn't quite experienced. And I remember it was this one woman who I think might have been undocumented, and her dream was to become a police officer. Mm-hmm. And I think she might have even finally achieved that dream. I'm not sure, but I did hear somewhere that she was going to police academy. So,
wow, that's amazing.
On a very like personal level too. I mean, it's really affected me too. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we all kind of see someone in the street or in a situation, and even though you don't want to, you do judge based on your life experiences and how you perceive that individual. And what I've learned from this is to truly, I think about it. So I see a situation or an individual, and it's like I'm starting to think one way. Then it's like I'll stop myself and I'll say, unjudge. And that does it for me right away. I stand back. I don't know their story, who this person is. I need to listen, you know. And it's really helped me, actually, I think, to become a better person. So it's really valuable. And we all know in this world, we need more of that. And I think it's also a good way or an important way of, you know, where we're building community and connections. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that sounds like an incredible. I should definitely go check that out. It just seems like, you know, we are walking books. We have these stories that we have as ourselves. We know our story. But it's hard to know what that is without sharing it with other people face to face or, you know, in a library program like that. Alex, have you participated in any of these or been a reader?
No, I've been a part of it as a coordinator and organizer. Right. So I kind of get to see that backstage of it.
But
because of the process, you know, I get to talk to each of the books extensively, you know, while we're preparing. So it's a few months of talking to them. I end up being friends with all of them. Antonia, who was the police officer, I see her. I have lunch at her house still.
Oh, my gosh.
She's going, you know.
She's
gone to, you know, state Congress, you know, with, you know, political groups, and she's really advocating for herself. You know, my experience is, you know, I get to hear the stories piece by piece throughout the process, and then my role when the actual event takes place, since it's kind of that middle person that's anchoring it down, and I get snippets of the books here and there. So my experience is a little different. I don't get to sit down and be a reader and get that whole experience, but I get a rush of a little bit of everything. You know, even though we go over 6 books, through the process, I think I ended up talking to about 12 potential books until we get to to the, you know, 6 we actually have hosted.
Like Alex, in addition to, you know, putting this on and organizing too, I'm like what's called the librarian. That's the role I play. So you have the book and then the readers.
Yeah.
And then there's someone in the group who would be like the librarian who could kind of help facilitate, you know, if one person is taking up too much time, not giving other people the, you know, opportunity to ask questions. You kind of have to work that out. Also make sure, you know, that they're following rules, that they're being really respectful, and also to encourage those really tough questions.
Yeah.
The only guidelines that we have for books is that they cannot be in crisis. So if they're talking about an experience that they have, whether it was drug addiction, sexual abuse, you know, all those kinds of things, it's like they've gone through it, so they can't be in crisis. And the other thing that we're really adamant about is that people don't proselytize. They don't try to convert people into their way of thinking. Mm-hmm. It's just to be there, to express who you are. This is me. I'm an open book. Read me. Ask any questions. And for other people, the readers, to totally get as much information as they, you know, want to know, and to unjudge. So.
Yeah. No, it's a great way to connect in that way, too, especially with someone you might not even come across in your day-to-day. But, you know, we kind of live in our little bubbles here and there in the community. And that's such a great way to break through that bubble and just meet somebody and learn about yourself, too. It's always like kind of a mirror. And
exactly.
That.
We had an individual book who had a spinal cord injury. And, you know, he's in a wheelchair. And, you know, and it's like people see people like that all the time, and they're wondering, what is their life like? How do they meet people? How do they get intimate? Like, how did that happen? And here's an opportunity to get, and the books have to this point felt really comfortable, and it's answered all those really personal questions, and it so people walk away with like, wow, this is incredible.
You know, it's also one of the few library programs where people are encouraged to, and till now have come out in tears, you know. Intimate tears, and usually I don't want to see people crying in a library program, but you'll have people, you know, wiping tears and everything, so it's such a different experience, and the impact of it is just so amazing.
It is extremely intimate, like, wow, you really, it's a different kind of experience than you have normally in everyday life and everyday interactions, especially with strangers. Is this a program that then is going to go to Rifle next, or do you have some
Glenwood's
plans?
So I think the idea is this spring session will be here in Carbondale, and in August, September, sometime in the fall, we'll be hosting in Glenwood Springs before going to Rifle again.
Nice. Yeah.
How can people learn more and sign up to be a reader?
So just go to the library website. We should have some advertisements there for it and the registration code. Or just walk into the library here in Carbondale and ask at the desk, and they'll point you in the right direction.
And it's Sunday from?
From 10 to 1.
10 a.m. to 1.
Here in the library.
And the website is
GCPLD.org, and that's Garfield County Public Library District. I have to remind myself of that.
Exactly.
But again, we do take people at the door if there's room, and I anticipate we should be okay.
We might stretch the seating limit a little
bit. We are flexible. We're sounding hardcore here, but we're pretty flexible.
So the reason we do have a limit is because we want it to be intimate. So just if you're wondering and curious, you know, it isn't like a big presentation in a crowd. You're sitting down, you know, we have six simultaneous groups of 10 to 12, maybe 15 people that are huddled in different spots in the library. So this is done morning on Sunday when the library is completely shut down, so we can use the whole floor without the conversations bleeding into each other because they're simultaneous. So within that group of, you know, 10, there's 10 readers, one librarian facilitating, and the book. So the conversations that happen are in small huddles. And then, you know, the 30 minutes, 45 minute bell rings, and the books stand up and rotate to their next area. So you get to listen to three books that you don't choose. You get randomly assigned to your group, and you'll get three random books. And that's to protect the books' privacy as well, or to protect the program from somebody coming in with an agenda. Let's say we'll have a book that lives transgender. We don't want somebody who wants to have something to say to a transgender individual going, let me sign me up for that one. So it kind of keeps it a little safer that way as well.
Oh, thank you, you guys. I'm so glad it's coming back, Frank.
It's a great opportunity.
It's great to hear.
Yeah, we're excited. We really are.
Thanks, guys.
We hope to see you all there too.
All right. This Sunday at Carbondale Library. Be there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Me tan frío yo acá porque salí de casa hoy. La lluvia empañó mi vidrio y todo oscureció. Si pudiese ver, vería gris. Es tu foto en mi pared. Me recuerda que no está tan mal, no está tan mal. Tomé de más ayer y mil trámites. Se me parte la sien. Perdí el bondi mal, se va a poner muy tarde otra vez. Si llegara bien, diría todo que no sobreviviré. Después me llama, si no está tan mal, está tan mal. Y yo te doy gracias por darme el día más feliz que viví.
That was a little Aggie Flores, and she's playing tonight at the Wheeler Opera House as part of the Rising, what are they calling this? The Rising?
Roaring Fork Rising, I think.
Roaring Fork Rising, that's it.
Series, yeah.
And so, wow, this is great. And we are now here with songwriter and singer Ray Omri and with Ben, what? Is the last name?
Bentley.
Ben Bentley. I mean, you're destined for stardom with a name like that.
Or misspellings.
Ben Bentley. And they are playing tomorrow night at the series up at the Wheeler Opera House. And, wow, welcome. I'm so excited to have you guys in here playing music.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on. Yeah, I'm super excited to be part of this program. I'm really stoked to have Ben joining me, too.
And folks, you can't see, but Ben plays his banjo with a bow.
Yeah, I call it a bojo. It is actually a little bit of a different instrument, though it looks like a banjo.
It's not a banjo.
I mean, it is its own thing.
Whoa.
Did you create it, or is this a thing?
A friend, Cloverlick Banjos up in Fort Collins, or used to be. He made that, a friend of mine.
Wow.
It does have more strings, doesn't it?
Yeah, and these are gut frets. So you move them around, you tie them just like you would a Turkish or Persian instrument. You got quarter tones.
Yeah.
But we're not here for this. We're here for
Okay.
We are. We're here for that, too. we're here for all musicians. This is very cool. The Wheeler, you guys perform at the Vault, which is that the lobby area of the Wheeler?
There's a little venue within a venue. It's like there's a bar area, and they set up chairs, and there's like a little stage. And I think maybe they do benefits and stuff in there and like smaller shows. And I played last year, and it's like, super great space, and the Wheeler folks are just like the nicest people ever. It was a really great experience,
and it's really to showcase Roaring Fork artists for the most part, correct?
Yeah, people with roots in the Roaring Fork. So I think it's people who either live here or have lived here or kind of consider themselves Roaring Forkers.
Yeah, Roaring Forkers.
And you're going to be joined by a special guest, Abigail Benning.
Yes, Abby's playing. She's amazing. I knew her from before, we had a chance to do like an all ladies jam mm-hmm. at our friend Camille's house. And she's just got the most amazing voice. She's great on the guitar. But I haven't heard her original stuff before, so I'm really, really looking forward to that.
So cool. Well, let's hear a song, and then I want to talk more because I want to find out all about you.
Awesome.
Are the microphones okay where they are? We can rearrange.
Yeah.
Feel free.
I might just move mine down a smidge so that you get. Oh, never mind. We've got a second. We've got a fancy setup here.
Nice. Thanks, Amy.
Cool. All the old songs. This one's called All the Old Songs, and it's my take on a country-ish type of song. Tonight I'm blue. They wrote them by firelight about aching a long night through and feeling the way I do. Look for a turn of phrase and try to avoid cliches, but all of those songs were right. I'm blue for you tonight. Look for a turn of phrase, but I put it a thousand ways, and all of those songs are right. I'm blue for you tonight.
Wow, that was awesome.
That was gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah, very, very cool. So, Ray, you still live in the Roaring Fork Valley?
I'm technically down in Paonia.
Okay, I was afraid to ask.
Yeah, I've been hopping back and forth for these many years, and I hope to be back up here soon. But yeah,
It says you're a third generation Roaring Fork Valley.
Oh, that's Abby, actually.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Third gen. She's old stock.
Oh, old stock.
From around here.
I know Ray from Saw, though. Ray had a studio over at the Saw Studios for a year or so, I think.
Yeah,
across the hall.
I moved to the area because I went to an artist residency down in Paonia, and then I moved up here in 2021 and started working at the Aspen Art Museum.
Yeah.
And then I stayed up here for like 3-4 years, and then just recently went back down. So yeah, big time Valley Hopper.
it's like they're our sister town anyways.
Exactly.
So is that where you two met?
We met at a Willie Watson concert, because the guy that made this banjo had made a banjo in 48 hours for Willie, and we were delivering it.
Awesome. Very cool. Yeah, Willie played Palisade 1 year, so that's very cool. So you guys met, and now do you play around Paonia?
Yeah, I kind of play when someone asks me to play. I love playing with Ben, so I get him to join me at every opportunity. And Ben plays a lot more around there than I do. I feel like you got a lot of cool projects going on.
It's all one-offs. I mostly do ambient stuff or silent film accompaniments or just did a sound healing, but I love traditional music too.
Very cool. Very cool. And you, what is your approach to songwriting?
Well, it was born from a love of like old, you know, traditional music. And when I first met Ben, I was playing a lot of that kind of stuff. And so we played that together. And then I kind of got into the more, I guess what happened was COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 3 roommates and really thin walls. So I started like finger picking really quietly because I was really shy. And so I ended up doing more finger picking stuff and fell in love with the guitar for its own reasons because I didn't want to sing in front of anybody. And so now I'm kind of drawn to the more like, I'm drawn to like, not that I sound like these people, but I'm drawn to like Adrian Lenker and Nick Drake and that kind of like flowy stuff that's a lot more like guitar based. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
Wow, that's awesome. And so right now you probably don't make your living as a singer songwriter, but maybe you do.
No, I don't, but in Paonia, there's a lot of opportunities to play out. It's, you know, fewer of them are paid for sure. So I think that this Roaring Fork Rising thing is really, really awesome because it like pays you great, and it's like, you know, very focused on uplifting local voices.
So good.
Yeah, yeah. Super, super helpful. Very like financially impactful, very emotionally impactful, because they treat you like you're like a legit person, and mm-hmm. they treat you like a queen, and so it's really kind of a boost in that way. And it's like, oh wow, this is like how it could be if, you know, if you really push yourself and pursue it. So that's very motivating.
That's great. Well, let's hear another song.
Sweet. This one, the last one was kind of more in line with the traditional stuff I like, and this one is a little more in line with the flowy stuff I like, so...
Baby.
Yeah, it's so perfect that you guys found each other too, because you're really into open tuning and kind of ambient sounds, and Ben can really come up with some interesting, unusual, beautiful sounds. Yeah, that's very cool. You guys are in town tonight, but you play tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Wheeler Opera House. And this is part of a whole series. Tonight is Aggie Flores in the Wildflowers. Do you know Aggie?
I have not met Aggie, but she seems really cool, makes cool music.
Yeah. And then next week, I am not familiar with Emery Major.
He played last year, and I didn't get to see the show, so I'm hoping to catch this one, because he seems like he makes cool stuff, too.
And Hannah Corvu, who is a beautiful singer-songwriter as well. And then we have Writ Large is going to present Women's Voices, and that's Alia Howe. And they are on Saturday, May 23rd, and next week we'll have a few of them on. And then there's a local comedy showcase, and they're going to end, well, not quite. Then it's the Soper Sisters with Mark Nussmeier. And then it ends Saturday, May 30th with Wild Flight with Hugh Phillips. Wow. So do they contact you and say, we're going to do this series again, we'd love to have you back? Or do they put it out there to people? Or how's it work?
Yeah, it's an application process. So it's kind of like you submit, I think, some videos and some music. And and then they choose from a group of people. And then if you did it last year, I think they sent out an email saying, like, apply again, you know, no guarantee that you get in, but they were, super encouraging to try again. And I was really excited because I didn't know you could do it twice. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So where can people find out more about both of you? Individually.
BBBen.org.
BBBen?
Triple B. So BBBen.org. Nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, Ben's got a lot of beautiful music out and also translates poetry and writes.
As part of this whole thing, I love Persian culture, Persian poetry, and so I translate that as well as, like, the basis of what I'm doing is Persian music.
Wow.
Gosh, it's so good to know you, Ben. And how long have you been in Paonia?
About a decade next year. And I'm in Hotchkiss.
I know.
Yeah, Hotchkiss. Yeah.
You know, over the hill.
Yes.
Over the hill. Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, that's great. And Ray, you will be, are you playing anywhere else coming up?
My next thing is there's like somebody's doing a book tour, and stopping by the record shop in Paonia. And I am gonna like open for that. And then I have some stuff going on later in the summer and fall. I think I'm maybe not allowed to say one of them yet because they just haven't announced the full lineup. But I'm excited for that one. And it's one of the fun Paonia festivals that happens in the fall.
I bet I know what it is. Yay.
And I may, and Ben's going to join me if he still wants to at that point.
Cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. And what's your website where people can...
I do have a website. It's rayomri.com, RAIOMRI.com. And then I have an Instagram, which is funnier. It's razor blade, but RAI. And razor underscore blade on Instagram. But I've YouTube stuff, too. There's things kicking out there. It always shocks me when someone's seen it. I'm like, how did you know that I make music? And then I remember that I put it on the internet.
That's,
like,
that's how we all get discovered.
About the internet.
Wow. Well, it's so great to have you guys here. And folks, tomorrow night at the Wheeler Opera House, 7 p.m., you can buy tickets in advance if you want, but I'm sure you could also just pop up there at the Wheeler. It's the Vault. It's called the Vault at the Wheeler. And you can buy tickets at the Wheeler Opera House. Is that a .com or .org? It's one of those things. I think it's a .com. Well, thanks so much for being here. I wish we could just play all day. Are you guys going to spend the night in over on this side of the hill?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be here through Wednesday. So hopefully, if there's any friends out there listening, let's hang out. Yeah, thank you all so much for having us on. It's been really nice.
Yeah, thanks.
Beautiful music.
Nice talking with you guys. We're going to play something from Emery Major, who's playing next week. Here we go.
Going from town to town, taking other people's baggage and my loved ones around. I say I stand for nothing and ask for nothing in return. Sit still and hold the match until my fingers burn. Well, my daddy always told me to be practical and smart, to buy used half-jumper cables and keep things close to your heart. But lately I've been thinking, is there more to this mirage? Could there be some wild horses catching dust in my garage? I don't want to be the loser, sick and tired of playing the fool. I don't want to be afraid to leap into the deep end of the pool. Don't want to play it safe with a smart mid-sized sedan. I want to drive a damn Ferrari and not a freaking minivan. Oh, I want to take up dancing, and I want to quit my job. Want to stay out till the sun comes up and come home dressed like a slob. I want to sell out an arena where everybody knows my name. I want to live the life I've dreamed of and not feel a lick of shame. I don't want to be the loser, sick and tired of playing the fool. I don't want to be afraid to leap to the deep end of the pool. Don't want to play it safe with a compact from Japan. I want to drive a damn Ferrari and not a friggin' minivan.
Keep it on Express Yourself here. Thanks for tuning in to KD&K on your Friday afternoon. I'm here with, let's see, is Ben on the phone here? Can you hear me, Ben?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, look at
hey,
that.
Brian.
We got Ben Strawn from Salida calling in. And we have Chris Anderson here in the studio. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Yeah, talk in the microphone. I can hear you.
Hello.
Chris Anderson and Ben Strawn have a two-person exhibition up right now at Carbondale Arts for one more week. It's called Kindred Spirits. And Chris lives up in Aspen, and Ben is joining us from Salida, like I said. And Ben is an abstract painter. Chris is a ceramic artist. But I'd love to have you guys tell us how you know each other and how the idea for this show, Kindred Spirits, came about. Who wants to go first?
You go, Ben.
Okay. Well, Chris was a graduate student painter at the University of Denver. My dad was the director of the school, and I was an undergraduate student. And so we got to know each other through school, actually.
Which was about 40 years ago, is that right? Or
something like that,
yeah. Who's counting, though?
I can't hear him.
Oh yeah, put your headphones on, Chris.
Oh.
Chris couldn't hear you, but he was telling you about the old days, about his dad and school and
Yeah.
How does your story go, Chris, from when you guys met?
Well, he probably covered it. I didn't hear it. I didn't know I had to have these headphones on.
Yeah, I forgot
on.
The headphones are
I'm
good.
Going, what did he say? I was a grad student, and his dad was the director of the University of Denver. And I was his TA, and he was in my part of my thesis. Just real quick, I know. His mom was in the sculpture room with me, sculpture department. We used to do some class on steel and stuff like that. Anyway, Ben wandered through, and he took classes of mine, and he wandered through the studio. We've been friends ever since, 40-plus years.
That's so amazing. And this is your first show together, I think, right?
Yay!
Wow, 40 years. About time, I guess.
Yeah.
I love walking through the show and seeing kind of how, I mean, you're not working in the same space. I get that when you're working in your studios in Aspen and Salida, but there is some kind of dialogue that happens between the shapes that Ben's painting, between the things that Chris is making with clay. How does that come about, do you think, when you're apart from each other like that?
Ooh.
Magic?
I think, yeah, magic. I think somehow we're kind of on the similar wavelength, you know? We both have a love of Matisse and Picasso and abstract expressionism and all those kinds of realms. I always appreciated Chris's work and all the magic in what she was doing, and always tried to steal snippets of her
rascal.
Flavor and her
you rascal,
you know, her visual language. I've always appreciated. So I don't know, just some similar aesthetic kind of appreciations that we have, and that comes out in our work. And our kind of approaches to how we work, you know, we're both very kind of involved in process and intuitive knowing and emotive kind of expression. So, yeah.
Yeah, you guys do seem to have, I mean, the Kindred Spirits is a really apt title, I think. Once I sat down with both of you for the artist talk, I could see the relationship and how that's, you know, really strong after those 40 years have gone by, and the work, you know, speaks for itself individually. You guys are both very strong artists, on your own, and then just bringing it together in this gallery space, just a really strong show. The language that you guys both use, incredible. And I get, you know, Ben stealing stuff from Chris maybe, but I think Picasso had that saying, like, stealing is the highest form of flattery in the art world or something like that. Maybe not
something
for everybody,
like,
but yeah. Chris, I'd love to have you. You have a couple different styles of work in this show. I think you have, you know, some very formal, like black and white pieces, and some other works that are very playful with wheels and propellers. But they're still your style. You have this kind of raw energy that you work with. We got to do a studio tour where you work at CMC in Aspen. And can you just talk to us through, like, your process, what you're thinking about when you're creating?
Oh.
No small thing.
No, yeah, no, it isn't. Well, there's some serious pieces in the black and white that you'll see that I hope you'll see. Quick, hurry, it's only a week long left. So that relate to, I guess, the chaos and stress that's in our political system right now. And so my art is like a metaphor for that. Pieces are ripped apart, torn apart, put together, fall apart, and I sew them together with neochrome or nichrome wire, and there's a lot of letting the scars and the history show, but also seeing that there is there's hope in putting it together, and that it's actually better that way. Yeah, Ben actually took a piece and he knocked it over and he was very upset. And I came and looked at it and I said, no, it's better. There's like wire and it's hanging. It has more. He didn't believe me, but I actually liked it a lot better. So that's sort of my my take on things, that it gives a character and so forth. Another group of work is actually in that same realm is there's a black and white that's about dialogue in couples, and like the white piece is very nurturing. I have other pieces where it looks like somebody's been kicked in the stomach. There's a married piece or a coupled piece that the two pieces have to stand together to be whole. If they're separated, they fall over. And that, you know, so I have like a series of those. And then there's there's a group that has to do with the cell phone and how we've lost touch with each other, maybe take a picture of each other's sandwich instead of actually talking to the person right next to you and show, you know. So I made these vessels that I call them party vessels. They're all parties, and like party chickens, party Pegasus, party vessel one, party two.
Yeah.
And they have wheels on them, and they have silver and bronze propellers. They have springs with broken doorknobs. A lot of it has symbolism to it, like the doorknob opens to let you through. But basically the idea is that the pieces – they're joyful. They're fun. They're celebrations that people get. They're fun to play with each other. They roll across the table instead of passing the mashed potatoes. You roll it or you push it or whatever. And people get involved with the art, and they also get involved with each other. And so that's my and it's joy. It's celebration. And speaking of celebration, I make menorahs. And those are – they're also very sculptural. All the pieces are very sculptural. And it's about ritual and spirituality and, again, celebration, people celebrating. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing now.
I feel like you can really feel that celebration coming through when you come in the room. There's so much to look at and so much energy in both of your – works. Ben's brush strokes are really energetic, and the way you're working with the clay, you can just kind of see the remnants of like fingerprints and pulling the clay and playing with it. So it's a very joyful experience. Again, this is at Carbondale Arts. It's up through next Thursday, so you have I guess 4 days, Monday through Thursday next week, to come. Ooh. See. I know. It happens so fast. A 5-week show over almost like that. But hopefully, are you guys going to show any more together? Do you have plans to propose any other shows around the Valley or maybe in Salida? Or I know, Ben, you work at you show your work at the Walker Fine Art Gallery in Denver.
Right.
I'm sure you're inspired.
I have
from
a
this
show coming up, and I have a show coming up there in June.
Oh, great.
June. But I mean, that's me. That's not with Chris. But I mean, love to do another show with Chris. I think this is really a successful show, and but we don't really have any plans right now set up. But
well, sometimes it takes a while, you know. Maybe not another 40 years. Hopefully, though.
Right. We were actually talking about it today. It's like, we didn't work together on any of it. He would hang a piece, and then it was like, oh, this piece goes with that piece really well. And
yeah.
It did it that way, and we could approach it the same way. I mean, I'd love to have another show with Ben. Another way would be to come up with an idea where we work on it together.
Oh, yeah, like a collaborative piece. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Would you paint, or would you have Ben sculpt?
You know, if we had a bigger space – Ben does amazing sculptures, steel and wood and large standing up pieces, and I paint and print and draw, and so we're multifaceted with our mediums, and so it could be like that, or it could be like one room is Ben, one is me, or together. Or there's so many possibilities. And this particular show, I would love to show it somewhere else. I think it's an awesome show.
That'd be great. Yeah. I mean, it is very strong. And there are, I mean, the sad part about being an artist in this valley is there aren't a ton of places that show local artists anymore. So it does take some work to find those locations and being creative in your own way. But well-deserved praise for everything you guys are doing. I think there's an article coming out in the Glenwood Post-Independent hopefully soon.
Yeah, Monday. I think it's Monday.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, how can people learn more? I've got like 30 more seconds until I have to turn it over to NPR. But how can people learn more about you and your work and see more of your things? Chris? Go to CMC.
Go to CMC. I don't really have a gallery. I'd like to have one. Maybe I'll work on that. And nice. Ben is a lot easier to find at Bobby Walker.
Yeah, Ben, we just go to Walker Fine Art.
Yeah, walkerfineart.com. That's in Denver, on Cherokee Street.
Perfect. Well, so again,
I've shown there for over 20 years. So.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. I'll come see it when I'm in Denver next. Well, thank you both for your time. Sorry, I got to cut it off and go back to the news, unfortunately. But come see the show.
Thank you, Brian.
Learn more at carbonalarts.com.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Chris. Happy Friday.